Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Thursday, we celebrated the ascension of Jesus into heaven. The Son of God, who is the Son of Man, now sits at God's right hand, ruling over the world with all power and all authority. That power and authority he exercises through his followers, us. The Word of God enables us not only to be saved, but to live saving others. The Church brings life to the world. Today we are also reminded of motherhood, the joy of bringing life to children. Mothers are a direct reflection of Jesus, the one who was sent into the world to suffer in order to bring life to the world. For they too suffer in order to give the most precious gift, life. They too teach and train for the time when they are no longer around. Mothers sanctify their children in the truth, and for them we give thanks. The past few weeks, we've been hearing in the Gospel of John and the Epistle of 1 John all about love. The Father loves the Son loves us, so we love one another and keep His commandments. We show the world by our love who the Father is. Greater love has no one than that He laid down His life for His friends. John the Apostle, an evangelist, can't seem to get enough of love. For love is the foundation of everything that is good. The love that leads God to send His Son and the death that He suffers has made everything right. At the very core of history is Christ on the cross proclaiming, "It is finished." Well, today John turns around and gives us a stark picture of reality. Yes, there is love abounding from God and shown in Jesus and His disciples, but far more is in store for those who follow Jesus. The world hated Jesus. The world hated His disciples. The world hates us. Time and time again, John records the rejection of Jesus by the Jews, by the world. John chapter 5. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Him, because not only was He breaking the Sabbath, but He was even calling God His own Father, making Himself equal with God. John chapter 6. So the Jews grumbled about Him because He said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." John chapter 8. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at Him, But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. John chapter 10. The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Humanity has had a long history of rejecting God. So it came as no surprise that when God walked the earth in the flesh of Jesus, he was rejected. It should then come as no surprise that when God works through the flesh of us, we are rejected. Jesus was not of the world. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. Mankind wants to remain blind, to live in darkness, to satisfy their own desires without any interruption. As our epistle reading taught us, those who don't believe that Jesus is the I Am, the man who is at the same time God, they make God into a liar. Having both natures, Jesus is the bridge that unites humanity to God once and for all. His humanity has been welcomed into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, showing us that our humanity is forever welcome in the presence of God. Through Jesus, we have life, as his sacrifice has paid for the sins of all mankind that require death. All who believe in the name of the Son of God have eternal life in the risen and ascended Jesus. We are not separated from God, but forever united. And so as Jesus prays to his Father, he also teaches us what he plans for us. "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." In the Gospel of John, the word "the world" does not mean the planet Earth, or even all of humanity. The world is a loaded negative term. The world is everyone and everything that is against God, that is contrary to a loving Father willing to send his Son to sacrifice for the world. There are no unbelievers that get along with God. Whoever speaks coexistence or tolerance of Christianity still hates the way of God. They, like the Jews, reject Jesus, who makes himself equal with God. He must only be a man. He must only be a moral teacher. And then they can appreciate him. Well, what does it mean to be of the world, as Jesus says? The world follows after selfish desires without a second thought. And yet, the world is more subtle than only seeking money and pleasure. In fact, much of the world looks like Christianity. The world gives money towards this nonprofit, that nonprofit. The world takes care of the environment. The world serves in soup kitchens, homeless shelters, nursing homes, and orphanages. The world serves the neighbor, many times even better than the church does. The distinction can be hard to figure out. What does it mean for Christians to not be of the world? Jesus spoke the words of God to the Jews. We speak the words of God to the world. God no longer walks around in the flesh of Jesus. God speaks by the flesh of Christians. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he taught us a very important lesson. Don't wait around for him. Yes, expect and hope for the glorious day when he returns. But we don't sit around in locked rooms like the disciples, hoping for Jesus to come in through the door. Jesus doesn't walk around preaching and teaching over there in the land of Israel. He works a different way. how he reaches the entire world through us. The man Jesus could only be one place at one time, but now he sits at God's right hand, being present everywhere the word is proclaimed, people are baptized, and sinners gather for a meal of Jesus' body and blood. Therefore, we engage the world with one sole purpose, to make Jesus known. We no longer follow our selfish desires in all things. We don't crave money, power, and pleasure, for we have found a greater joy. We don't serve others for the sake of thanks, repayment, or feeling good about ourselves. We live differently, speaking the words of God in all that we do. Confronted with the hate of the world, Jesus didn't ask for an easy way out. He knew the Jews would hate him for his words, but he set them anyway. His mission was greater than the desire to be accepted or welcomed by men. His mission was to be used by God. So as he speaks to the Father for us, he doesn't ask for an easy way out. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. God gives us no easy task. We're not spared from the hatred of the world. We don't escape rejection. Jesus doesn't advocate separation from the world. Jesus wants us to engage the world. How else will the world be saved? It can't. Well, no one likes rejection. No one likes to be hated. But the church remains in the world to be treated as Jesus was treated. We need to ask ourselves today, are we willing to speak the words of God to people who will hate us for it? Do we really love them if we don't? As Christians, we ought to desire repentance from the world far more than love from the world. So we speak out for the unborn. We speak out for marriage between a man and a woman. We speak out for waiting until marriage to live together. We speak out for the Bible as the Word of God. But most of all, we speak out for Jesus. He is the Son of God, equal with the Father. He is the bread of life who feeds the world. He is the only way to heaven. These harsh truths are the greatest truths. They are not easy to say outside of this room, but they have the power of repentance. The world is not saved by someone willing to say what everyone wants to hear. The world needs to hear the truth. So how will God give us the ability to engage the world? Jesus goes on praying to the Father, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." To engage the world, we must first engage Jesus. We must learn Jesus in order to teach Jesus. Again, this is no easy task. It's easy to spend our time watching sports, reading news websites on computers, looking at pictures on our phones. It's not easy to crack a Bible. It's not easy to spend our time in the study of Jesus. Our sinful flesh hates it, and we have all sorts of excuses. We need proper motivation. We get comfortable in our lives thinking we already know enough to be saved. We already go to church regularly. Why do we need to learn more? Jesus makes it very clear. Our learning, our worship, our study of the scriptures and the character of Jesus is not only for our sake. We go to Bible study. We read devotions in our home. We pray so that we can save the world by the way we live, by the words we speak, and by the hate we receive. The Father sanctifies us by His Word. He sets us apart so that the world looks at us and sees something different. The nation of Israel was given the law on Mount Sinai in order to live differently, so that the other nations would look at them and see what God was like. Christians are given the entire Bible to live differently, so that the world can see what God is like. Here lies the true importance of Christian mothers. All mothers are a blessing as they sacrifice for their children. From the very beginning, the relationship between mother and child is sacrificial. Mothers give their bodies, their time, their energy, their sleep, and much more. Mothers feed their children, wash their children, hold their children, and love their children. But only a Christian mother teaches her child Jesus. Pastors are not the main teachers of the faith. Parents are. Just as a child learns to talk by being exposed over and over again to the language of his parents, so a child learns the nature of God by observing his parents. A Christian mother gives up herself for her child not to be repaid at a later date or to feel good about herself. A Christian mother receives and so gives freely. As Jesus was sent into the world for her, so she is now sent for her children. As Jesus was sent into the world for her children, so he now sends her children. Mothers give and sustain life, but they do much more. They prepare us for the world that will hate us. They sanctify us in the words of Jesus. So today, on Mother's Day, we thank all of you who are moms, grandmas and great-grandmas who continue to model the love of Jesus Christ to your spouse, children, and grandchildren. May the Lord continue to fill you with joy in your vocation as a godly mother. When Jesus prays to the Father, he desperately wants us all to be like him. He knows that his time in the world won't last long. Once the humanity of Jesus sits at God's right hand, he must send others to engage the world. He sends his apostles, and he sends us. The Father keeps us in the world so that we can be not of the world. We are set apart to be different. We serve others, but not for selfish reasons. We speak the words of God, ready to be rejected. For we desire repentance far more than superficial love. As Jesus was sent into the world, so he now sends us. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Together the 19th.